always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, Senior Lakers Insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine Tuesday afternoon by Harrison Fagan of SB Nation. Harrison, the premise of this show, we have reached that very tenuous spot in some Lakers seasons where I'm starting to get optimistic about the team and the direction that the team is going in. So in this one, we basically have a couple of choices. We can lean all the way in, open our hearts up, and get ready to get punched right in the gut eventually, or we can nitpick and try to, find reasons that I should not believe or should come down from this high that the Lakers have us on in the middle of this 6-game winning streak. So which way would you prefer we take this?
You know, I mean, I think the streak's over, fun's over, everyone. The Lakers are about to go on a historic losing streak because it's, and I knew that as soon as I saw the subtitle up there, Anthony is feeling optimistic. I was like, oh, yeah, it's over. Sorry.
Yeah. I didn't want to write the word. I'm so afraid of this feeling.
I think just the implication is that it's over. Like, anytime you feel good about this team, like, it's all coming crashing down.
So yeah, we're going to talk about the 6-game winning streak that the Lakers are on. We're going to talk about the impetus behind this 6-game winning streak, that being that LeBron, Luka, and Austin have seemingly found how to play together. And the numbers kind of back that up. Small sample size theater notwithstanding. We'll talk about the rest of the West, which, you know, Harrison, you and I spoke last time about the rest of the West and how it's like weird how the Lakers get held to this crazy high standard, but a lot of other teams' questions just kind of seem to be ignored. And all we've seen since then is more reason to be concerned about those other teams, including the Lakers beating some of them. So we'll talk a little bit about the Lakers standing within the West. And over the course of the show, I'm sure you guys are going to have questions and comments and stuff like that. So we'll get to as many of those, as we go along as we can, and certainly wrap with, a bunch of questions there at the end. The Lakers, Harrison, 6 games that they have won in a row. They have wins over the Knicks, the Timberwolves, the Nuggets, and the Rockets. They have won in a variety of ways. They have looked really good. They have also let teams back in. Last night's win, I don't think I would consider that all that impressive, but it was also important, right, that they win that way, given the makeup of this roster and some of the questions that you and I have had about this roster over the course of the season. I'll hold off on, you know, my grand proclamation about what I think this Lakers team is capable of, but where do you stand on this? Like, how much of this do you think is Mickey Mouse March basketball, or how much of this is like the Lakers being legit?
Yeah, it's like every year we're like, don't fall for March basketball. We write it down on our hands, and it's like, you know, the results aren't real. We see this every year in the playoffs. We do like 100 podcast segments on is so and so team legit because they went on a winning streak in March, and then it turns out like no, it was not. But I guess I'm willing to get tricked again because the win.
Hold that ball, Lucy. Here we come.
I think this time I'm going to kick it, Anthony. I think that the wins have been against at least reasonable competition. You know, like, I'm not saying they've beaten a murderer's row here. All of these teams have flaws too, but that's, as we talked about before, that's sort of the West. And, you know, like, they should have, I think I sort of stand by last week when I was talking about, like, they should have a puncher's chance, at least be able to be competitive with, I think, just about any team but the Spurs in the West.
Yeah. And I even the Spurs, like, I mean, we'll see how they handle the playoff setting and all of that. Like, Fred VanVleet went kind of viral the other day saying everybody needs to slow the bleep down on the Spurs.
He's trash talking from the injured reserve.
That's crazy. It is nuts. It is absolutely crazy.
Because if I were on the team, I'd be so like, experienced. They've all been through so many battles together, you know?
Like, if I was on the Rockets, I'd be like, Fred, shut up. Like,
Fred, you're making it worse.
Like, why are you giving them the bulletin board material from the IR? But yeah, like so the way that we kind of talked about the Lakers this last time, one of the points that we made, and I should have brought up some like clips of it, but one of the points that I think we made was how every team has their questions, but I have felt like the Lakers have had the most meat left on the bone that they have been able to more recently get to and enjoy. And we've kind of seen what that looks like. And it all starts, you know, like we've been saying this all along, like since this trio came together, the Lakers are only going to go as far as those three are going to take them.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And we've seen this nice kind of slotting of Luka, obviously, is priority number one in the offense. Austin is priority number two in the offense. And LeBron has not just accepted, but I think at times really relished being the third option who gets after it defensively, gets out in transition, and winds up being, you know, like the final blow. That I kind of think of the Lakers offensively as the loot train scene in Game of Thrones, right? Where you have, you know, it kind of starts with the initial wave of fighters that the Lannisters were kind of trying to deal with. And then eventually it was like the Dothraki being like these crazy maniacs who were like riding on top of their horse and shooting arrows. And then after you've dealt with or tried to survive all of that, here comes this big fucking dragon that's just, you know, and like that's how I kind of picture LeBron, where it's like, you know, you watch the Lakers run these sets where they're initiated by one of Austin or Luka. Then the ball swings over to Austin or Luka and they go up against a compromised defense. And then you'll get like a LeBron stampede cut at the end of a set. And it's just like that defense is just like, okay, what? Like, what do we do here? And it's just, it's been this really fun thing to watch develop. And I think because that trio appears to be legit and because they all have seemingly accepted the roles that are best for the team, therefore the Lakers are legit. What have you seen from LeBron, Luka, and do you agree with the analogy in comparison to the loot train?
I love the analogy. As someone who, like, their algorithm on every single social media platform now is just like, here's another Game of Thrones clip. And I'm like, oh man, I should rewatch it. And then I remember how it ended. I'm like, oh, you know, it was so good though.
And I just like to think it ended at like midway through that final season. Like they never arrived.
Yeah, they defeated the Night King and it was all happily ever after.
It was That was it. They all decided to stay there in the north. They never went south. Yeah.
Yeah. So I agree with what you're talking about with like the Lakers. And one of the things that I've been thinking about since our conversation last week, where I went like devil lawyer mode again, and was trying to, you know, argue for the devil and explain why LeBron might not be a role player. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that I've been thinking about since that conversation is like, are we not accounting for enough? You know, when we talk about like, oh, LeBron's going to have to sacrifice. LeBron is going to have to sort of step into this third option role because he's really the only guy that can do it. Austin can't do those things. Luka can't do those things. LeBron is the one with the skill set where he has the athleticism that can sort of help the Lakers make up for deficits where they are lacking and where those other two stars are lacking. And the thing that I was thinking about is like, are we not factoring in enough that this has sort of been what LeBron's wanted since like 2020 or 2021, where he has been like, please get me another ball handler, get me Dennis Schroeder, get me Russell Westbrook, get me whoever, get me anyone who can dribble the ball D'Angelo so that Russell. I do not have to do it all the time. And the Lakers were like, okay, we got Luka. And then, okay, how about Austin Reeves too, who you already trust at the end of playoff games. And like, you know, we were talking about LeBron's muscle memory and him having to sort of learn a new way to play, but has he been wanting to play this way the whole time? Has this sort of been what his dream vision was, where it's like, hey, like, I'm ready to be a role player. I'm ready to get easy buckets off of the threat of someone else because I'm so overqualified for like to be a third option in the offense. And I don't want to have to crack the defense myself every single time. And like, I've just been watching. First of all, I think he heard all the noise about how the team looked while he was out. And like, he's very aware. And also, he was watching these games. How could he have not seen exactly what the Lakers
needed?
He
has
as high of a basketball IQ as anyone has ever had. He's watching it from the sidelines and he's seeing how they're thriving again with Austin and Luka in those roles. And it's like, okay, well, where can I fit in that augments this attack instead of them trying to fit in around me? And I think he's done that. Like, he deserves a ton of credit for coming back and sort of immediately hitting the ground running as like the role player.
It's so funny to think of it in those terms where it's like, I want this thing. I want this thing. I want this thing. Get this thing. No, I don't want that one. You know, like the idea that like he would have been asking for so long for this. And now, like, look, I think he would have preferred that the Lakers get a good enough creator while he and Anthony Davis were there together, because I think he really liked succeeding with AD. But
definitely tried to make it happen.
But like, I think that, you know, in this case, the way that I've always kind of looked at things, Harrison, is always through the lens of incentive. And he has every incentive to make this work between now and either the end of this season, or, you know, we'll see what decisions he makes coming this summer. But like, if LeBron had not bought into this role that he has been asking for, that he can now fill, that he can do so with the confidence that like he has an MVP candidate over there in Luka and an all-star over there in Austin that can kind of guide and drive the offense. Like if he didn't make this work, that looks poorly on him. Like that reflects poorly on him. You know,
yeah, we can finally say it. LeBron's a loser, you know. Please don't clip that out of context.
But like it would not have, like, it would change, I think, how a lot of people view him here at the end. Whereas now he buys into this, he kind of proves that he is the level of basketball mind who is able to look around and be like, all right, this is what this team needs from me. I can do this thing. In all of the ways, by the way, Harrison, that he was talking about at the beginning of the season, that he was like, I'm a chameleon. I can figure out, like, just give me some time, give me some reps, and eventually I'll figure this out. And over these last six games, you know, and yes, like there are a couple of games against the Pacers and against the Bulls, and he wasn't in all of these games.
Hey, the March Bulls, that's a contender right there. Okay. The March Bulls are not to be taken lightly.
Josh Giddey's March jersey belongs right up there alongside Michael Jordan's in that arena.
Well, I mean, if you're doing the all first team Mickey Mouse March, it's like Bam and Josh Giddey are like mainstays there forever now. Mickey Mouse March Hall of Fame.
Did you see that Bam won? He, like, so Luka won
West Player of the Week, and then Bam won East Player of the Week. And Bam only averaged like a few more points per game than Luka did, despite scoring 83 in one of those games.
Now, in fairness, Luka has been pretty good too. So, you know, he hasn't been scoring 80. He's been averaging like 40 during this streak. So it's a pretty high average.
But it was nuts. It was like Bam was averaging like 51 or something like that. And I think Luka over that week that he won it was averaging like 47 or something, whatever it was, whatever the number was. And I was just laughing. He was like, there's only so many games that could bring a number so far down from 83. Yeah. And, you know, Bam figured out a way to do that. But yeah, like I just think that, like, for one thing also, like, it also needs to be said, I'm often very cynical on here, but it is legitimately cool to watch LeBron sit there, recognize what this team needs, swallow his pride, and then fill the role that this team needs, even though, like you said, and I completely agree, he is completely overqualified in terms of his like career bona fides to be able to do that. Like that is
it's like the highest kind of thing level that, guy. Like, I was going to say, it's always interesting to me to watch these guys and like how they end. Is it going to be like Tracy McGrady, where you just sort of get forced out of the league because it's like you're just not good enough to do that 1A stuff anymore? Or are you going to be like Vince Carter, where you stick around like 6 years longer than you really needed to because you become an entirely different player? And I'm not saying LeBron's going to play like another 6 years or whatever. He's like at the age Vince Carter was when he hung it up. But, it's always cool to see these guys who were stars sort of like embrace a dirty work thing at the end of their career. You know, like Sean Marion on the 2011 Mavs is like another example of this, where he was a guy that was like a much higher pedigree player and just was like, I'm going to be the glue guy for this team. That's what they need. I'm just going to sort of fill in the gaps wherever they need it and do all of the dirty work stuff. LeBron is obviously a higher level player than like any of these guys. And even like Karl Malone on the Lakers, you know, not a guy that you want to compare guys to like today for a lot of reasons, but like just speaking strictly on the court, strictly on the court, that last season that he played with the Lakers was an incredible role player and sort of just completely embraced being like the fourth banana, fifth guy in the lineup that was just going to like clean the glass, you know, get deflections, try and do the dirty work. Exactly. I mean, really, like, it is LeBron's whole career has been like, what if Karl Malone could dribble?
Yeah.
And now he's just like, he's like, oh, okay, well, I'm not faster than everyone anymore, so I'll just be prime Karl Malone, you know?
Yeah, I saw, I should be, it's like LA Bound on Twitter made a fantastic, like a phenomenal point in a tweet. And I don't know if I retweeted it, but I saw it. I should have retweeted it if I didn't. I will after the game or after the show. But he said that he likes he loves it. Well, he likes those stampede cuts that the Lakers will get LeBron involved in. And the reason that he likes them is because it emulates in the half court setting the transition game that LeBron is the best transition player in NBA history, you know, I completely agree. And
how many
yet again,
has LeBron ever been able to have stampede cuts to the rim unaccosted, you know, like have enough high caliber players that they can draw the attention and then get him an open lane to the basket.
Yeah. Like how frequently, if ever, in LeBron's basketball life has a team been like, oh shit, there's LeBron, you know, like,
yeah,
like his,
I forgot like, where LeBron James was. That's my bad. You know,
and that be like with this team and with this offensive structure and makeup, like it's not excusable, but it's explicable, right? It was inexplicable for the vast majority of LeBron's career that like, yeah, this guy, you have to know where he is every millisecond of the court. And usually the reason that you know that is because he has the ball in his hands for every millisecond that he's on offense. But like right now you have this spot where the Lakers have him playing in this role and can occasionally run these stampede cuts that involve, you know, the other team just being like, geez, all right. We already pre-rotated to offer some help against Luka, who last night, I should have made this point on Offside. I should have made this point on the show last night with Raj. Houston has some of the most athletic players I have ever seen. Amen Thompson, yeah. This guy, like Amen Thompson, is doing things on a basketball court at such a crazy level that other NBA guys are like, hold on, you know? And yet Luka looked so comfortable against them all night last night. It's absolutely insane to watch. Like, I was thinking down the stretch, I was like, actually, I think, you know, the pick and roll stuff and all that, like, it all they're going to do is switch it. So I would kind of go away from pick and roll down the stretch against this team. And I wanted them, and I'm glad they brought Ayton back into the game so that they could just kind of punish Houston's lack of size and girth. But one thing that I was kind of thinking was, like, I want Luka in the post specifically against Amen Thompson, because that's the best way that you can kind of counter that kind of raw athleticism. But the nice thing is that the Lakers, like, offensively, they have an answer to every punch and every counter punch that a team can throw at them. And again, I'm not saying that they're going to throw all of those counter punches at all times, or that those counter punches are always going to land, but that the Lakers, like, I remember, if you ever listened to Greg Maddux talk about facing Tony Gwynn as, you know, in that pitcher batter matchup, he would always get so angry because he's like, I throw every pitch. I throw all of these pitches from a variety of angles, and I do all of these insane things. Greg Maddux was literally called the mad scientist because, like, the baseball would just do ridiculous things coming out of his hand. And yet it didn't matter because Tony Gwynn had a swing for every single one of those pitches. And it was always like some line drive up the middle that, you know, always found grass in the outfield. And that's kind of how I see this Lakers offense. And look, like, will the Lakers be able to trap and double and zone up all of these teams to the extent that they've been able to during this run? Probably not. Like, at some point they're going to have to be able to play better straight up defense. But I don't know how many teams are going to be able to do to the Lakers anything consistently enough and get, you know, to be able to get stops over the course of, let alone, like, not just a game, but over the course of a 7-game series, give these guys all that time to figure out any of these teams. That's pretty intriguing. I want to talk about Luka because, you know, what we're watching from him, I'm not going to lie, over the course of my time watching Luka on the Lakers, I have had plenty of doubt as to whether or not this guy can win a championship playing the way that he wanted to play and being the best player on a championship level team. And I'm here to say that I'm wrong, because the caliber of basketball player, I have been wrong. The caliber of basketball that this dude has been playing over this run, and I'm not expecting him to average 38 points a game from here on out, but his ability to just get to his spots, wear down the other team's best defender, and basically force all of these teams into submission over the course of a game. And then also, like, I had a commenter on last night's show ask me why I call it selfless that Luka is playing defense at the level that he's playing. Most players who are as talented as Luka is and who are playing offensively as well as Luka is playing don't also make an impact defensively.